for the Veterans Day program live here on Q92. Stay tuned. Brought to you by Madison VFW Post 1656.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Can you hear me? Yes, there we go. Short in the mic. Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Volk. I'm a member of American Legion Post 158, and I'd like to thank everybody that's here today. And I just want to recognize the kids. It is fantastic to see all the youth here today. So thank you very much, kids. On behalf of American Legion Post 158 and the VFW Post 1656, thank you very much for attending. I would like to welcome all of you to stand at this time to recognize our honor party. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Dennis Bonderhaar, American Legion Commander, Post 158. At this time, we would have the invocation by Pastor Don Quam.
We begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, let your protection be upon all those who are in the service of our nation. Guard them from all danger and harm. Sustain and comfort those at home, especially in hours of anxiety, loneliness, and sorrow. Prepare the dying for death and the living for your service. Uphold those who do bear arms on land and sea and the air, and grant unto us and all nations a speedy, just, and lasting peace to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And we give thanks for all those who have shown the greatest love by laying down their lives for others. And we thank our military throughout history who have sacrificed their lives for their fellow citizens and for us who came after. Be present with all women and men who have served or are currently serving in the military. Help us to be worthy of their legacy and keep us mindful of their service. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
At this time, the Star Spangled Banner, played by the Senior High Choir Band. Thank you. And now the Pledge of Allegiance, led by the students of Madison, Marietta, Nassau, Appleton, and Milan. Colors over here. I pledge allegiance to the flag Thank you. You may be seated. Our next musical selection by the Lacapara Concert Choir, The American Creed.
So the American Creed emphasizes the duties and obligations of citizenship in the United States of America. It was the winner of a contest by the writing of it, adopted in 1918 by the U.S. Congress. The winner of this contest was William Tyler Page, who was a descendant of President Tyler and also of Carter Braxton, who was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. This is the American's Creed.
Another musical selection by the Lacapara Senior High Concert Band, American Collage. Thank you. And now a musical selection by Madison, Marietta, Nassau, Appleton, and Milan, fourth graders. The selection is called We Will Not Forget.
I'm David Rolfe, member of the VFW 1656. Sam Utane has been the Lacaparo County Highway Engineer since 2015. He grew up in northern Minnesota and joined the United States Marine Corps Reserve after high school graduation. He served from 1992 to 1997 as a combat engineer. In 1997, he graduated from NDSU as a civil engineer and accepted a position at a private counseling firm in Aberdeen, South Dakota, where he worked until 2012. He and his family then moved to Grand Marais, Minnesota, where Sam worked as an assistant highway engineer for Cook County. In 2015, Sam and his family moved to Madison. He is married to his wife of 30 years, Heather Montaigne, and together they have four daughters. At this time, I would like to introduce to you Sam Montaigne.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak here, and I'd like to thank all of the musicians for their service this morning, too. I did notice the band and the compilation there. There were a couple of marches that you may or may not know were written by John Philip Sousa, who happens to be a Marine. As you heard in my introduction and bio, I also was and am a Marine, because once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine. To emphasize that, let's talk a little bit about the Army. No disrespect to the Army whatsoever, but what do you call, kids, you guys might know this one, you can shout it out, what do you call somebody who's in the Army?
I was looking for soldier. But veteran's not wrong either, so you still get a point. How about somebody who serves in the Navy? What do we call somebody in the Navy? How about a sailor? Can we go with sailor? Okay, this one's a little tougher. What do we call somebody who serves in the Air Force? They're an airman. Okay? Now this one, if anybody gets this, you get bonus points. What do we call somebody who serves in the Space Force? I have no idea. I don't know if they've decided or not. So, the naming rights still might be out there. So if you can think of something, you might want to write your congressman. Okay, here's the tough one. What do you call somebody who serves in the Marine Corps? A Marine. Yep, we don't need another name. One's enough. We have a bunch, though. You may have heard some of them. Other than Marine, maybe Jarhead, Leatherneck, Devil Dog, Self-Propelled Sandbag. We even the newer one, I guess, is Crayon Eater. That was after I was out. But the funny thing is about Marines is we take those negatives and we make them positive. So we weren't called Jarheads because we liked it. It was a mockery term that the Army used and some of the other people used. We went, okay, fine. And now we call each other Jarheads all the time. So, okay, so during my time in service, every lecture that I went to, every class that I went to, every speech that I went to, always opened with a joke. So I thought, well, then I better do that at this one. So I went through and kind of searched my memory for all of the old jokes that I knew from the Marine Corps, and I realized that none of them could be told here. So I dug a little deeper, and I found one that I kind of sanitized, and so I think I can go with it. So we're going to try. So, back in the Korean War, there was a battalion of Chinese soldiers marching through a valley, moving up to the front lines. And as they're walking along, this crusty old Marine gunnery sergeant, way up on the hill, shouts down at them. And he says, "A Marine is worth at least 10 Chinese soldiers. I could whip 10 of you right now without even breaking a sweat." And went on to curse them and call them names and mock them. And finally, the colonel leading the battalion got tired of it and went, "All right, send a squad of Chinese soldiers up the hill after him." So as soon as they started to get close to him, he backed off over the crest of the hill. They heard the sounds of battle, gunfire, and explosions, and shouting and yelling. And pretty soon, Marine gunner sergeant comes back over the hill. He's a little sweaty, a little dirty, but really none the worse for wear. And he yells out, "I told you, there's no 10 Chinese soldiers that are worth a Marine. In fact, I bet you I could lick 100 Chinese soldiers. It wouldn't even break a sweat." The colonel at this point is getting a little bit upset, so he sends a full company of 100 soldiers up over the hill. Of course, again, the Marine gunnery sergeant backs off as soon as they come and backs over the hill. Sounds even more battle, more explosions and yelling and gunfire. And then they look and see one Chinese soldier limping up over the hill, and he's dragging one arm, and he's bloody, and he gets all the way back down to the colonel, and then he reports to the colonel. He says, "Colonel, don't send any of them in. It's a trap. There's two of them." All right, so I've fulfilled that part of the requirement here. Just a little history, and I see that it's actually on the back of your bulletin, too. But on the 11th hour of the 11th day, the 11th month of the year of 1918, the guns stopped firing in Europe. It was one of the largest conflicts that the world had ever seen. And so to commemorate it, they called it Armistice Day, because it was the day the armistice was signed and went into effect and stopped the fighting. That day was celebrated until 1947, when actually the first Veterans Day was celebrated in Birmingham, Alabama. And it was by a World War II veteran who wanted to have a day to honor all veterans, not just the ones that fought in World War I. That continued on, and when it was made official in 1954, when Congress changed its name to Veterans Day. It was a day to honor all veterans. And while we have Memorial Day in May, and that is a day where we honor those who died in combat fighting for this country, and we remember their sacrifice and honor them, Veterans Day is a little bit different. The Veterans Day honors not only those who did die, because they are veterans, but also those who are still living. And so Veterans Day is for all who have served, both in times of war and peace, whether they served abroad or here at home, and in all branches of the military. So who is a U.S. veteran? What is a U.S. veteran? Well, they come in all ages. Most of them served when they were in that 17, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old range, being led by those old, mature 24, 25, and 26-year-olds. But now, they're of all ages. They served in all the branches. So, yeah, you have Marines, you have sailors, you have soldiers, you have airmen, and whatever the Space Force is called. You have career military men. Men who maybe this has been a family tradition growing up. They probably went to one of the service academies, whether it was West Point or Annapolis. Or they joined knowing they were going to make it a career. They served 20, 40 years in the military. This was their job. But most are not. Most are what we consider citizen soldiers. They volunteered. They joined and served for a limited time. And then they got out, and they went on to make a life in the civilian world. Veterans come from all 50 states and the District of Columbia and even U.S. territories, and some even come from foreign countries, and part of their services is gaining their citizenship. Veterans, when they went in at least, some were very athletic, some were very smart, some were not so athletic, and some not so smart. But they all joined, and they all went in. I went into boot camp. I was 18 years old and right out of high school, and I played football and basketball and ran in track. I wasn't great in any of them, but I did them all. But I remember there was another recruit that went in with me. It was Recruit Olmstead. He was about 5'4", maybe. Maybe weighed 130 pounds. He had thick, Coke bottle-type glasses. And in the Marine Corps, they issue you glasses, and they're the ugliest glasses that they could find in the world. They actually nicknamed them birth control glasses because you couldn't get a date if you were wearing them. So, but Recruit Olmstead didn't give up ever. He couldn't run very well. I mean, his legs were only like that long. He wasn't very coordinated. He really struggled with left and right, so marching was not something that came naturally to him. But he never quit, never gave up, he never complained. Even when the drill instructors were giving him some personal attention and you know, some of that instruction that they're known for. And when we got onto the rifle range, which in the Marine Corps, marksmanship and riflery is a very, very important thing to do. And so we got onto the rifle range, you spend 2 full weeks training and marksmanship, and then you spend a full week shooting to qualify. And when it was all said and done with, and we shoot at ranges from 200 meters out to 500 meters, at my time we did it with open sights, when we got all said and done with, Recruit Olmstead was the high shooter, but he wasn't a high shooter for our company. He was a high shooter for the whole battalion. He was the best shot that we had in that group going through. So it just opened my eyes to the fact that everybody's got strengths and weaknesses. And one of the things that the military does is figures out how to use those to the best of your ability. And they also figure out how to make you have to work through your weaknesses, too. So Private Olmsted is just one example of what we have for veterans. Where he's at today, I have no idea. And no idea where he served or how long he served and what he did. But he was a Marine. So why do veterans serve? Why do they join? Why do they volunteer? Reminder, we have an all-volunteer Army, and we have for over 50 years. And you know what? The reasons are as varied as there are veterans. Everybody's got their own reasons for why they joined. And they're anywhere from, like I said, family history, just a sense of duty, or possibly pay for the job, for the benefits that they get, for college tuition, just adventure. They're young people who want to get out and see the world. Patriotism, they want to serve their country and they want to do their duty. To serve others, whether those others are the total country or their family that they're leaving. Maybe they went on a dare. Or because their friend signed up, so they thought it'd be fun. Or to avoid a situation at home, whether they had a poor home life, or they didn't really have prospects for work or an education, or they had gotten into trouble. And then, like I said, there are some that joined to get their green card and their citizenship. But for whatever their reasons, they all were willing to volunteer to do this. And whether it was wartime or peacetime, when they signed up, when they volunteered, they signed on that line to say that, you know what, I'm going to give the country all that I have right now and possibly all I'll ever have. We hear a lot about combat veterans. They get all the books and the movies and the articles written about them. And they should, and they deserve it. And I don't take anything away from that at all. In fact, it would add more accolades if I could. But I want to emphasize a little bit more on peacetime veterans. Ones who were serving when their country didn't call them up to fight. But they still served. Peacetime military is different than wartime military. In a lot of different ways. When I went in, it happened to be right after the Gulf War, and there was no war on the horizon, and my dad just had made the comment to me. He said, just remember that when you're serving in peacetime military, you're just killing time till the next war. He was a little right. I mean, there are some of the things that we did that I went, okay, there's really no purpose to this other than we have time to kill. But he wasn't completely right, because what the peacetime military does do is they continue to train for the next war, for the next time that their country calls on them to stand and fight. And it's hard. Training's hard. In fact, in some ways it's harder than actually doing the fighting, in that you're always getting ready and never get to do what you're getting ready for. It's also hard because you're doing a lot of things that are dangerous, that most people would say you probably shouldn't do that. Just off the top of my head, giving a bunch of firearms and ammunition, live ammunition, to a bunch of 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, and then sending them out in the dark is usually not a good idea, and most people would kind of frown on it. But that's what they do in the military. So I remember one time that as a combat engineer, we worked with explosives, and we had a bunch of unexploded ordnance that we were supposed to dispose of. So we had everything from small arms to thermite grenades to C4 explosives to dynamite to rocket engines. We just had all kinds of stuff that they said you just need to get rid of it, and the best way to do that is blow it all up and use it up. Again, but you're giving all of that to a bunch of 18, 19, and 20-year-olds being led by a bunch of 24, 25, and 26-year-olds. So we, of course, went out and found out what we could blow up with things and what we could do. And so we went out and first thing we did was set a bunch of thermite grenades off. And if you're not aware of what a thermite grenade is, it is a grenade that burns at about 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit, so it'll melt through and burn things. It's used mostly to destroy and disable weapons. So, you know, we're out in the desert in California trying to burn rocks with them. We get done with those, and then we decide it's time we should do some explosive work, so we're going to link everything up with our demolition cord. And so we get in a big circle, and Sergeant runs the demo cord around to us and starts to hand out explosives that we're going to tie into this. And one corporal standing off to the side says, probably shouldn't do this right where all these fires are burning. Maybe we should move over. And like I said, a bunch of young guys all stop and look around and go, yeah, that's probably a bad idea. So we all walked over 50 yards away from the fires and went back to playing with explosives again. So you hear about accidents and things that happen in the military all the time, and some of them are eminently preventable, and some of them are not, because it's just the situations we're in. We do a lot of things in the dark. It's amazing how difficult something that is as simple as tying your shoe in the daylight can be when it's pitch dark out and you can't see. Then throw some rain in there, maybe some wind, and it gets even tougher. And so veterans learn to do hard things and to get through them. The other part of peacetime military, it's incredibly boring. There's so much sitting around and waiting. Wartime, same thing, but it's punctuated by some real excitement. Peacetime, not so much. The other thing is that in peacetime, you generally don't get the accolades. You never get the glory that you thought you were going to get, because you're always training and never actually completing. But mostly, you're just tediously doing your job, doing what was asked of you, what you're ordered to do, required to do. There's some advantages to it, too, though. You get to experience people, places, situations, things that are completely foreign to civilians. You get to learn a new language. If you talk to a veteran, you may hear words that you go, what was that one? In the Marine Corps, we had things like the scuttlebutt, the drinking fountain, moonbeam, the head, ink stick, pogey bait, fart sack, rack, the overhead, the deck, the bulkhead. Every branch has their own terms, and it's a different language. And you get to learn it as a veteran. You know it now. And that's why you can feel a sense of belonging, even though you're talking to somebody that you never served with and they served 20 years later. It's still the same. The other thing that you get to do is you experience, in a small way, the variety, the broadness, the vastness, the difference of the world, our country, and the world beyond. You get out of your small world that you grew up in, and you see much more. You get to see that it's broken. There's a lot of things wrong with it. But you also get to see that there's a lot of great things out there, too, that you didn't get to experience without doing that. And finally, you get to experience who you are and how you fit into that giant, broad world out there. So we owe a debt to vets, all of them, peacetime and war. This country is a strong leader in the world. This country has done a lot of good in the world. It is able to do that because of our veterans, both peacetime and war. In the peacetime, veterans do all kinds of service things, from whether they're monitoring and overseeing and guarding against threats, to responding to disasters worldwide, to helping to quell uprisings and combating other countries, or whether they're just monitoring and being a presence to keep peace. As JFK said, and he asked, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And vets did that. They answer that call. They don't do it perfectly, and I will certainly say we don't do it completely unselfishly. We wanted to get something out of it too. Well, we did, and we served. So one last thing I would ask. If you know a vet, or if you run into a vet, beyond just thanking them for their service, because as you probably noticed, veterans really aren't sure how to respond to that. We've tried multiple different ways, but it always feels wrong. Part of the reason, and my daughter mocks me for this too, but part of the reason as a veteran is you always feel like you didn't do as much as somebody else did, and so you don't deserve it as much. So it's an odd feeling for veterans. So just know that. But more so, just ask them what they did. Just talk to them a little bit. Just get their story a little bit. That will do more for them than thanking them. And the other part is, and we all know it, is that there are a lot of veterans out there that are struggling. They're struggling mentally or physically. And so you talking to them and getting their story and showing them that they mean something to you could make all the difference in the world. So I ask, if at all possible, take the time when you can to do that and just spend some time talking with a veteran. I never know how to kind of close out or end the speech. A little bit tough. So I'm going to close with this. I'm just going to ask that God would bless the veterans, the U.S. military, the United States, and Semper Fi.
Thanks, Sam. At this time, we'll have a musical arrangement from Guagaparo Senior High Concert Band, American Patrol. Music selection from the Guagaparo Concert Choir, Armed Force Pride of America, and America the Beautiful.
Our next piece features the theme song from each of the branches of the military. So we will call out your branch, and if you are able, please stand and recognize for your service. And if you are unable to stand, please wave so we can thank you for your service.
Thank you. big maybe.
This morning, last song is America the Beautiful, an arrangement by Mark Hayes. It features spoken text coming from the Declaration of Independence, the preamble to the Constitution, the Gettysburg Address, and from a speech by Dr. Martin Luther King.
Self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out to the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Thank you.
have a benediction from Pastor Don Klum.
Thank you. One thing before we close, I am the chaplain at Madison Healthcare Services, as is indicated here. And this afternoon at 2 o'clock, we have our Veterans Day program at Madison Healthcare, and we're recognizing 11 veterans between Prairie Winds and the Care Center this afternoon. So we give thanks for them as well. If you see any of them or know any of them, remember to say thank you. Let us pray. God, grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, to the nation peace and concord, to us all, your servants, the promise of everlasting life, light to guide us on our way, courage to support us, and your blessing to unite us in service to you, our God, and this, our country. Amen. And we now close with everyone singing God Bless America.
Great. Stand up as well. And if you're able to stand, our esteemed audience, you can stand as well. I'll bring you in at the right time, so just wait for us.
You've been listening to the Veterans Day program live from the MMN Elementary Gymnasium. Madison program brought to you on the radio today by Madison VFW Post 1656. You're listening to 92.1 FM KLQP Madison Dawson online at klqpfm.com.